The Big E Sports Show with host Elissa Walker-Campbell just got bigger as we bring you the 2009 NFL and college football season in style. We've got you covered with game insight, opinion, and football expertise. Featuring former defensive star and three-time national champion at Nebraska and NFL player Jason Peter.
There is no bigger honor than to go into the professional Hall of Fame or college Hall of Fame.
Each week, the Big E Sports Show will take you under the helmet to bring you the latest talk on the 2009 season of college and pro football.
Is there maximum effort out there? Because that's one thing you don't have to be talented at. You don't need talent to try hard. And that's the thing that I'm looking for out of them this year.
Under the Helmet with Jason Peter on the Big E Sports Show with host Elissa Walker-Campbell.
Elissa Walker-Campbell, we are back this weekend on the Big E Sports Show as we get set to preview Super Bowl 44, the biggest weekend of the year with the Colts and the Saints. We're also going to take time to talk some Big 12 North recruiting. In our earlier segment, we hit on the South. It is time for our big-time guy, our Under the Helmet segment with our very own Jason Peter. What are the festivities going on at your house as you guys get ready to gear up for Super Bowl 44?
Can't wait. Cannot wait. And it's crazy because you think back to the beginning of the NFL season when it's week one or week two or three, and you say to yourself, nah, you know, I don't have to rush home to see that game. There's 13 more weeks, and then 16 more weeks when you count the playoffs, and here we are now in February, and it's the last football game of the year, and it's a great day, but it's also a sad day because now the reality of the off-season kicks in where there's no college football, there's no NFL football. Now kind of the focus turns to, I guess, the dance, the NCAA tournament, and that's pretty much it.
There certainly is a number of very interesting storylines in terms of this particular Super Bowl. You know, Peyton and Drew Brees, two of the best quarterbacks in the league. What intrigues you the most, Jason Peter?
Well, I think, like you mentioned, I mean, you have two of the great quarterbacks in the game with Peyton and Drew. And obviously Peyton, I think, is a little bit more established. He's got a Super Bowl victory under his belt. But just in terms of what he's done since he's come into the league, I mean, I remember it wasn't too long ago that Drew Brees was the odd man out in San Diego. And this was a kid that was highly regarded coming out of Purdue at a, you know, in college, and before you know it, they were drafting another quarterback, and he was kind of sent packing, and nobody really thought that Drew Brees would become one of the premier quarterbacks in the NFL, and that's where he is today. But you have the New Orleans boy in Peyton Manning. The father is probably the most legendary Saint that is alive today, and here he is, the quarterback of the Indianapolis Colts, going back and playing his hometown team. I mean, this was a team that he grew up a fan of. He's admitted that while he's been down there at the Super Bowl, that on any other week other than the week that they're playing Indianapolis, he's a fan of the Saints, and it's a neat thing. I mean, it really is. You know, I experienced it a little bit through my brother Christian, where we grew up Giant fans, and he got the opportunity to play for the Giants for 4 years. And obviously Peyton's on the other side of the ball going against his team. But, you know, you think kind of these almost childhood crushes don't really, you know, come back and play a part in your life. But they do. I mean, you talk about the posters on the walls, and we all had our Giant helmets that mom bought us, and when we were playing football in the backyard, and you pretend that you're Phil Sims or Lawrence Taylor, and I mean, it's just, you know, these are the things that I think what's great about childhood, and here you are, you know, 30 years old as Peyton is, or a little bit older, and now he's playing his hometown team for the Super Bowl.
You know, my heart kind of, I hope for the Colts to prevail in all of this, but, you know, you kind of pull for the Saints as well, because this is such a city that's, you know, been bouncing back from just massive damage, and just to think, it's just a great story of resiliency, to think about what happened in 2005 with Hurricane Katrina.
Yeah, I know, and it's remarkable. And this was a franchise that didn't know what to do, didn't know where to play, what's going to happen with the Superdome. This was a team that all they knew how to do for so many years was lose. And now you turn on any television show, morning show, the Today Show, whatever it may be, and you have all these Saints fans that are showing up now, and they have their Who Dat signs, and everybody's so... There's so much pride, I think, for the Saints and the people of Louisiana and New Orleans. So to think about where that state, that city was just a few years ago, and not knowing, I guess, what's going to happen with the team, to think that they're playing in their first Super Bowl is amazing. And, I think they kind of have... They're filling that underdog role, I think, in more ways than one. I think people, they're pulling for New Orleans because of Katrina, because of what everybody had to go through. I mean, we've all seen the pictures of people sitting on their rooftops with signs saying help and the destruction that caused. So for New Orleans, I mean, it's a crazy city. And with Mardi Gras following the Super Bowl, I can only imagine what that's going to be like if the Saints can pull a victory.
Well, Jason, our earlier guest, Joey Lucci, we were talking about the fact that these are two teams offensively very solid that can put points on the board. New Orleans averages almost 32 points per game. I know you can appreciate that being a former NFL player. And Indy averages 26, but who do you give the edge in that as far as offensively? Of course, the Saints, they've got those three terrific running backs in Reggie Bush, Mike Bell, and Pierre Thomas.
Yeah, and I think when you talk about the Saints and those running backs, I think everybody is pointing to Reggie Bush as kind of that X factor. And I would probably have to agree. He's a guy that, he can change the entire course of the game. And the thing I think with Reggie Bush, though, is it's not always a given. And that's why I think he's considered the X factor. If he shows up and plays one of those games where he has an impact, not only at the running back position with some of those swing passes and the reverses and things that they do with him, but in the special teams game, if he can take one back to the house on a punt return, or he can do some damage that way and put that offense in good field position, I think that's the thing that Saints fans have to hope for. I think if you compare these defenses going up against these offenses, I think probably Indianapolis will create some more problems, I think, for the Saints than what the Saints will create for Indianapolis. I mean, the Saints, I think, for most of the year, they get their pressure done by bringing extra guys. And that may work in the beginning of the game. That may work against Peyton in the first series or two. In fact, you saw it against the New York Jets where Rex Ryan, he was bringing all sorts of pressure in the beginning. And Peyton will be the first one to tell you, it's going to be pure chaos in the beginning. He goes, but once I settle down, once everybody settles down, then we should be able to put our game plan into effect. It happens exactly like he calls it. And it's going to be no different, I think, when they play the Saints. Now, what the Saints have to do is, in those first two or three series, when Indianapolis is still trying to figure out what exactly New Orleans is trying to do, if they can make something big happen, if they can have Darren Sharper take one back to the house, you've got to take advantage, I think, of those first two, three series and hopefully get yourself a leg up and put some points on the board.
We're talking to Jason Peter. It is our Under the Helmet segment as we gear up and get ready for Super Bowl 44. We also got to take time to talk some Big 12 recruiting. In our earlier segment, we were talking about the South Division. Can we take time to fast forward to that and kind of give us the pulse on Nebraska? I mean, what can we anticipate there?
Nebraska, it's never an exciting program to talk about when you're talking about recruiting. We've never really been a program that lands in the top 10, top 20, other than the Callahan years. But you look at the results of the regular season, I think you'd rather sacrifice the recruiting for some more wins. And I think that's what we've gotten with Bo Pelini. He's taken more, I think, of the same approach that Tom Osborne did, and that is, I don't care what some guy sitting behind a computer thinks of this player that we're recruiting. The only thing I care about is that myself and my fellow assistant coaches think that we can make this guy into a star, and that he's the type of player that we want in our system. And Bo Pelini has come out since numerous times since the day he took the job and said, I don't care what some guy has us ranked, whether it's this player's a 3-star or a 4-star or a 5-star. It's funny, I had a conversation with my old defense coordinator, Charlie McBride, about this whole recruiting service and the way that it's structured. And he said to me, you know what a 3-star is? He said, a 3-star is a hotel that only gives you one towel in the morning. And it's the old school way of thinking, but it's the truth. I mean, you know, if you looked at I think the track record, certainly some of these services, they hit the nail right on the head with some players, but how many 4- or 5-star kids do you never hear from again? I mean, the expectations that are put on these kids, some of them, I mean, they love the attention, but for others, it's maybe something that they don't really look for or desire. You know, the cameras chasing them, and you got 15, 20 articles written about yourself before you ever step foot on campus. And, you know, these kids, when they do come in with these high rankings and the 4 or 5 stars and the expectations that they're going to be the next great defensive lineman or the next great quarterback at Texas or Oklahoma or Nebraska or wherever, I mean, where do they have to go? I mean, but down. There's nowhere else. I mean, some of these people have already labeled these kids superstars, and they've never stepped foot on a college football field. So it's just they're put in some horrible situations, and I think most of these kids are set up for failure, and that's the sadness in it all. I mean, just let the kids show up on campus. Let them develop at their own pace. Not everybody's going to step onto the field as a true freshman and run for 1,000 yards or throw for 5,000 yards. I mean, everybody kind of develops at their own pace, and I think when you can do it without the constant media pressure, I think it's a huge benefit to some of these 17, 18, 19-year-old kids.
Well, the name escapes me right now, but I'm thinking of that. I think it was a running back at Colorado. Darrell Scott, that huge expectations on him, and just kind of floundered there and then moved on, right?
Yeah, I think he transferred.
He did.
Who was also out on the team. He was another kid that transferred because he wanted to pursue more of a rap career or some type of music career. So he transferred out to, I think, USC. And now Darrell Scott has transferred as well. And it's funny because there was another true freshman running back, Rodney Stewart, that came in at the same time as Darrell Scott. And out of the two, Rodney Stewart really was the one who kind of opened eyes, and he was the one who was having an impact out on the field. And all Darrell Scott was doing was saying, well, the coaches aren't using me right or this or that. And it was all excuses. And I'm not putting any blame on the kid. I'm just saying when there are those expectations, I think it's really hard for some of these kids to ever live up to them.
Jason Peters has been along with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. My producer is giving me that signal like, hey, we got to wrap up this second segment. I'm just really quick, just to kind of condense this for us. I know that you followed your brother's footsteps to Lincoln, Nebraska. How did they find Christian?
Christian was a high school football player in New Jersey. And after his junior year, pretty much every school in the country wanted him. And that kind of was one of the driving forces as to why I wanted to play football. I saw the attention he was getting. But he had a great junior year. And prior to his senior year, in fact, it was just minutes before kickoff of the first game of his senior year, there was a ruling from the New Jersey State academic board, the high school board, whatever it may be, that he was ruled ineligible, that they said he transferred schools too many times and that he couldn't play his senior year. So Christian didn't play at all his senior year. Fortunately, in New Jersey, you can scrimmage other teams prior to your regular season. So there was about 2 or 3 scrimmage tapes that were out there and were available. Most schools dropped off. Nobody was really interested in a kid that didn't play his senior year. And Coach Osborne said, look, I've seen footage from last year. I've seen these scrimmage tapes. This kid is a heck of a football player, and we want him. So the only other school that didn't back off was Temple in Philadelphia. And if you know anything about Temple football program, you know why Christian ended up coming to Nebraska. So I know, especially then for me, following my brother's footsteps, I know Texas has gotten Colt McCoy's younger brother, and Zach Brown came out and said that it didn't have any impact, and having Colt here, he would have signed Case anyway, and I got to disagree there. I know it's a little different situation. You're talking about Texas kids, but I know having my brother here at Nebraska played a huge part, and, you know, I think the thing is, if Colt wasn't there at Texas, say, if he was playing at USC, would that have an impact on Case going to USC? And I think certainly it would. So I don't think you can say it didn't help at all. I would have to say just a little bit in their situation. The family legacy lives on.
Absolutely. Those are some great stories. Not sure what's in the water down there in Graham, Texas, but obviously producing some terrific talent. So thanks so much, Jason. We will catch up with you next week.
All right. Have a good weekend.
Stick around. We got much more straight ahead this weekend on the Big E Sports Show.